Xfinity Mobile is a new kind of network designed to save you money while streaming your favorite music. Like that 90s jams playlist you've played 72 times today. It combines America's largest, most reliable 4G LTE with the most Wi-Fi hotspots. Get up to 5 lines of unlimited nationwide talk and text included with your Xfinity internet at no extra cost. All you pay for is data. Visit an Xfinity store or click now to see how much you can save with Xfinity Mobile. Restrictions apply. Requires Xfinity internet service. Equipment, taxes, fees, and other charges extra. Limited to 2 lines pending internet activation.
Blog Talk Radio.
March 12, 2018, and degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. We're not expecting any precip, so we're pretty good on that front. Watched Tiger golf yesterday. It's the first time I've seen the guy in a while. You know, I got a love-hate relationship with Tiger Woods. I really do. But you can see he's struggling to come back. He came in second, I believe. You know, he moved up from 8-under par and, you know, 10-under par and, you know, really, you know, tried to do his thing. He missed a lot of good shots. You know, I guess he's still of the caliber. I mean, you know, given that he's not at 100%. I mean, to come in second on the PGA Tour, you know, where everyone is as good, if not better, than you, you know, is quite a feat. I don't watch. You know, we're in the middle of or getting ready to go into March Madness. I'm not a big fan of college sports on any level, whether it's basketball, baseball, hockey, or whatever. So I didn't watch it, but I, you know, several of the teams. The only team I would be inclined to watch, perhaps, is Maryland and the men's team. You know, the women's team does relatively well overall, but Connecticut, you know, usually takes it. Anyway, this is not a sports show, but I just wanted to share. Some of what I did this weekend, you know, I had my kid down for the weekend and or however you choose to characterize it, and it was wonderful. We went to see Black Panther, fascinating, absolutely great movie, you know, almost 99.9% African or African-American or Afro-Caribbean or Afro-Latino cast. So it was wonderful to see that. They had one token white in, and it's great, you know, and, you know, as is typical for the Negroes, you know, they come out of the woodwork trying to criticize the film. Oh, it's too violent, this, that, and the other, but they'll play video games all this. These are the same people who allow their children to play video games all day, and I'm as guilty as most. You know, I try to wean my kid off of it, you know, try to get him to read and go outside more. These are the times that we're in, however, but I believe that if you just literally take them by the hand and do things with them, that will, you know, be a successful strategy in weaning them off of social media. Well, he's not into social, thank God, he's only 8 years old, so he's not into social media yet, but certainly still, you know, with the video games and that sort of thing. But at any rate, really, really, really enjoyed the Black Panther, and I will go and see it again, or you know, purchase the DVD. It's in 3D. We actually seen it in 3D, so it's even more fascinating. At any rate, when I upgrade my televisions, I definitely am going to go. Well, I don't know if I'll go with a 3D set. You know, I don't know. You know, just as an aside, I don't understand why, and I'm sure there's a simple scientific explanation for it. And if you want to join me, we're live, so give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. You're tuned into Mark and Pope at International New York Edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. And I was just trying to figure out why, you know, if you buy a 3D television, you have to also get glasses. And this is going back years. I remember, you know, I don't want to age myself, but going back, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, when they, 3D has been around a while, as has high-definition television. They just, you know, wasn't for commercial use. Was strictly for scientific and military use. You know, most of the technology that we see evident in our lives today, and I was teaching, you know, when I was teaching IT, you know, I used to tell the students, I said, hey, this technology has been existent for quite some time. You know, it's not like, you know, this stuff just fell out of the sky last year and, you know, suddenly it's on the commercial market. No, it's been around for quite a while. And the military or the government, however you choose to parse it, has decided to release it to commercial use. But you can bet your bottom dollar that it's been in existence, you know, secret or top secret or SER or classifications way above that for years. So at any rate, I was, you know, thinking that if I upgrade, you know, in my studio, my home, you know, wherever, why can't I get a 3D television that doesn't require glass? I know it's silly, but it's true. You know, now when we went to the theater, they gave us glasses, and I'm wondering that, you know, if those glasses work on a regular television. I guess, you know, I'll have to do a simple experiment if I can find a glass. I know my kid had one. And they're so cheap. I had a basket full at the theater. And so I guess I'll go over there and ask for another pair. If I can't find the ones that I had, it might be in my car or something like that. But it was just curious. But at any rate, back to the Black Panther. So I've been a big fan of the Black Panther since I was a child, solid middle age now. And I don't read comics anymore, you know, simply because I don't have the time, you know. Just like I don't have the time to play video games, you know. I know, you know, people that do. You know, I don't know any at my age that do, but I do know, you know, adult males that do play video games. I'm not one of them. But at any rate, Ta-Nehisi Coates, author of a couple of acclaimed books. I have some looking at my bookshelf to see if I could quick. Oh, here it is. Yeah. One is to become something. What is that? Beyond the World and Me. And I have his latest book. I have hardcovers. I like to get, you know, because at some point he'll be in either Brooklyn. I'm sure he lives in Brooklyn, actually. Matter of fact, I'm gonna have to reach out to the guy. I know he's not on social media for a whole host of reasons that I rather not get into them because most of them would be speculative. But I know he's not on social media, but I guess I could reach out to him some type of way because I would like to get those books signed. And that's why I brought the hardcover, because eventually I want my kid reading this stuff. Because I remember as a child, I really do, down in the basement of our house, we had all these books. And to think back now as an adult, you know, as an educated adult, you know, relatively well-educated, I remember these books now being classics. A lot of them were hardcovers, but a lot were paperback back then. But, you know, I remember the one where the guy, the white guy, you know, put on blackface and went into the black neighborhood. I can't think of the name of the book. But our basement was full of classics. And I guess people that knew my mother had foster children would give her all kind of stuff, you know, 90% of the, you know, that we weren't allowed to touch, but the stuff that, when I was a voracious reader as a child, and I couldn't understand a lot of this stuff, but, you know, I remember it was a lot of books down there with a lot of sociological significance, and it certainly, you know, as an adult, I could see it shape my worldview, certainly did, you know, in terms of how we as African Americans are treated here in the United States, and even by other African Americans, you know. We don't need to talk about black-on-black crime. It's been well-documented. But I was just talking about, and I talk about this often, those that listen to Mark from Pulpit International, New York edition, know that, you know, one of my pet peeves is, you know, Negroes that have, you know, sort of arrived. And you see it even, you know, I hate to say it, but even in the church, you know, you walk in the church and there are cliques, you know, people that don't want to talk to you because they don't even know your station, but they're assuming, you know, their nose is pointed up in the air. They're assuming that they're better than you, you know. And I would dare say that my credentials, you know, are equal to most people anywhere. And so it's to me, I'm there to for one reason and one reason only. But I'm just amazed that, you know, we're still into this classism, you know, where, you know, we think that we're better than someone else because we earn an extra digit, you know, in our yearly salaries. I don't know. It's something about the Negro, the African-American displaced, you know, black, that's, you know, we've done a lot of sociological studies on us, on our people, and some people have come up with very catchy syndromes, for the syndromes that we might suffer. You know, there's a PhD out of Portland State, can't think of her name right now, but she coined the phrase post-traumatic slave syndrome. I can't think of the sister's name, but she's a social worker by training, and you know, went on did advanced work in social sciences, and she's been out there teaching. She's on a talk circuit, and she's been at Portland State for a number of years, and you know, very well received. I don't know why I can't think of her name, but you know, it's just a take on post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, where, you know, a lot of the things, you know, people, you know, constantly say, and this is where I'm, you know, we're torn in our community. You know, a lot of us say, well, we need to get over and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. But I was listening to a piece on 60 Minutes yesterday in preparation for the show, and Oprah Winfrey? Yeah, she was interviewing this psychologist, white guy, you know, talking about childhood trauma, and I can certainly identify, you know, trauma that happens to you in your childhood, whether it's familial, whether it's sexual, you know, or just witnessing trauma, you know, can have lasting effects on you as an adult, lead to an early onset of all kind of physiological and psychological and sociological maladaptations, problems that you might encounter later in life. So at any rate, the guy was also, well, let's take a break because I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I wanted to talk about how, you know, he was not only talking about trauma, but, you know, especially in our community. Stand by.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse, the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe into our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
And we're back, and you're tuned in to Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's Monday, March 12, 2018. It's 10:47 a.m., 40 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York, and pretty cloudy. So it was kind of chilly when I got up earlier to take my kid back home. And, you know, we were talking during a break about a piece on 60 Minutes about, you know, trauma and childhood trauma. And you know, I think it has a lot to do with how we interact with each other. And by each other, I mean us as black people, because like I was saying earlier, you know, and I waited deliberately. I was going to take my significant other, but, you know, she suggested quite wisely that I take the kid because, you know, there's a theater here not too far from my house. Actually, I could walk to it. It's that close, you know. It's about a mile and a half. I mean, that's walking distance. And I was going to see it on the weekend that it broke, that it opened. But, you know, I didn't have my kid. And I said, nah, let me simply wait until I can get him, and then we'll go and see it together. Because, you know, when I had spoken to him a couple of weeks ago, it opened 3 weeks ago, he said, Dad, I haven't seen it yet. I said, what? I mean, yeah, anyway, there's another story. I dare digress. So I said, sure, you know. So we went, and it was everything and some. So I was talking about a Ta-Nehisi Coates in relation to, because he's written a couple of books. But he's also written a couple of, if not more, he might still be doing it. I don't know. I have the actual comics, because they're going to be collector's items. And I have to contact Marvel at some point, you know, but right now, for whatever reason, I don't know, cash for it, I don't know why. I got to figure this out, look at my accounts payable or something. But I was going to subscribe again to ensure that I had every copy that he had ever written. So I know I have all last year, so I have to contact Marvel, you know, the distributor. They have a different distributor than actually Marvel. I had to actually go to Marvel, which, as many of you may or may not know, is part of Disney Corporation now. Disney brought Marvel. And Stan Lee, my man, he did a cameo in the film. It was pretty funny. People don't know who Stan Lee is. He's damn near 100. Forgive me. But, you know, he still does cameos. They pay him $1 million a year. I don't know what he does, actually, over there any longer. But he's one of the founders of Marvel and did a lot of writing for some of the early characters that he developed in collaboration with other writers and cartoonists and that sort of thing. But famed writer Tana Cozy Holtz, I believe he's with Atlantic now doing some writing for them, as well as working on other full-length novels. You know, I'm not in his league by any means, stretch of the imagination. The guy's a brilliant essayist. And he doesn't do well in with the full-length novel genre, and I certainly commiserate, identify, because I'm working on this novel. I've been working on it for a couple of years. Now, if it were an essay, I would have been done, or even a novelette, I would have been done years ago. But it's a full-length novel. I just wanted to do it. I know I have a book or two or three in me, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm trying. It's very, very difficult. And I was telling you last week, during last week's show, that I have a friend of mine. We all grew up together. By we, I mean my family, my siblings, and her sister. And she's gonna try to shop. I haven't spoken to her in a number of years. You know, it's not unusual. You know, in this age of social media, people grow apart. But, you know, I can reach out and contact her as soon as I get the thing done. But, you know, I'm tying it together slowly but surely. So keep me in your prayers. Those that want to join me, join the conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. You're tuned in to Mark and Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman. So I'm trying to do something else technologically, trying to, you know, also migrate, not necessarily migrate, but combine the show with other formats. And it didn't work out this morning. I have it open on another platform, but it's not integrating with another platform. And this is how technology goes, you know, when you're using two and three different types, different interfaces. They don't offer, you know, because you're using different softwares and, you know, they have to connect to the servers, and for whatever reason, you might not have the correct port open. And it's not, has nothing to do with you. It's just how it has everything to do with how the technology is interfacing. And you can certainly troubleshoot. And I do all my own troubleshooting. I really do. And it's not something I enjoy, but, you know, it's part of, you know, being an IT professional, certainly a broadcast engineer. You know, that's one of the competencies, core competencies of doing that. So we're trying. We're gonna get it fastly connected. Let's take another break and finish up on the other side of the break.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop or pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
We're back here, Marketing Pulpit International, New York. This is yours truly, Dennis, shipping on a mic, 10:54 a.m. Monday, March 12, 2018, and we're talking about the Black Panther and some things associated with it. You know, it just came to my mind because it was so. I read some criticism, and we always hear this criticism, even in the African American community. You know, just take my word for it. And I know many of you, listening audience, have seen the movie. It's great. You know, violent, yes. Overt sexuality, no. Overt profanity, no. It's just a really good, very entertaining movie. And it gives a lot of work to a lot of up-and-coming young Black actors and actresses. I think the oldest, I'm not sure it's the oldest, but, you know, they had, oh, my God. His name is right on the tip of my tongue, playing the role of an elder there. And then they had Angela Bassett. If I could think of this guy's name, him and Angela Bassett would have had to have been the two oldest in there. And I believe he's in his, and solidly in his 50s, early, you know, maybe early 50s. Angela Bassett is in her late 50s, and she, by no means stretch of the imagination, looks anywhere closer. She looks like she's 40 or late 30s or something like that. She's absolutely beautiful. But they had a lot of young, really dynamic Black, African, and African-American actors. And it was just a really good movie, and to see that. And I think that's what, you know, we've been clamoring for that for years because, you know, the film industry, you know, wants the wants us to believe that there's no market for movies with all African-American casts. Spike Lee has tried to debunk that, as has John Singleton, a lot of other, the Hughley brothers, a lot of other Black directors, and they haven't been as successful as this foray. But then you have to understand that Disney, you know, Marvel, they have deep pockets, man, so they can promote and promote. But I, you know, the point I'm trying to make, the larger point, the broader point, is I've been a fan of the Black Panther for years, and I thought it was a fascinating story to bring to the big screen. And if I had a disappointment, and I really do not, is that, you know, it would have been even more, you know, it would have been more Black actors or actresses involved, you know. But, you know, you have to make way for, you know, new blood. You know, that doesn't mean you discard your elders or you discard, you know, the older actresses and actors that are still plying their trade. But, you know, there are people that are constantly waiting in the wings to, for their turn at fame and fortune. I think that these thespians that held it down, they really did. It was really, really, really entertaining. And you know it's going to be a franchise, just like they did Iron Man. Iron Man was very good. You know, I actually like Daredevil as well. I thought that was very well made. And they didn't turn it into a franchise for whatever reason. And then, you know, I'm looking at it from a martial art perspective. Of course, those that know me know I'm a martial artist, avid. And I thought the martial art choreography in Daredevil was very, very well done. And that's why I like that. Black Panther, not so much so. But, you know, it still is worth worth a watch. So there we go for today, folks. And I hope you have an enjoyable week. I will. I have a lot of stuff to do today, and I'm going to try to get. I pray that you get to a lot of your work today as well. Have a great week.
with them. Nation always at war.
Yeah.